Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, May 17th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Governor Dayton makes an offer on transportation, and the legislature acts on crime and drugs. Governor Mark Dayton is warning House Republicans that there won't be a transportation finance bill this year unless they are willing to compromise. With a week left in the 2016 session, Dayton presented two proposals yesterday aimed at breaking the ongoing impasse over how to fund road and bridge projects. But House Republican leaders didn't embrace either plan and are expected to make a counteroffer today. Tim Pugmire has more.
Dayton said he won't settle for anything less than $600 million a year to fund needed road and bridge projects throughout the state. But he's offering two paths to get there. One includes a 5-cent per gallon gas tax increase, down from his earlier 16-cent proposal. The other one has no gas tax. Both plans would significantly increase license tab fees and use about $200 million in existing general fund revenues. Both proposals also include a 0.5-cent metro area sales tax increase to fund mass transit projects.
There's no free lunch. General fund comes from taxpayers, tab fees come from taxpayers, gas tax comes from taxpayers. There's no one else who's going to pay for improving our transportation system except for all of us.
Dayton still prefers a dedicated gas tax increase over taking money from the general fund, but he said he's trying to meet Republicans halfway. Dayton said the failure to pass a transportation bill this session means new projects can't move forward and the state would fall further behind on road and bridge maintenance. Federal money to complete the Southwest Light Rail Transit project would also be in jeopardy. With time running out for action, Dayton said transportation is at a tipping point.
It's either success or failure. There's no in between. And if I'm not up facing the voters, but I wouldn't want to go before the voters next fall and say we failed on the most important measure that this session faces in terms of what the future of Minnesota depends upon, because we weren't willing to compromise and reach an agreement. When an agreement is there, an agreement is reachable.
Dayton presented his proposals to House and Senate leaders during a brief private meeting. Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd said afterwards that he didn't think Dayton had moved very far with either offer. He said he was pleased to see the governor willing to use general fund money and to leave out the gas tax in one proposal. But Dowd criticized Dayton's proposed tab fee increase as another kind of tax increase.
You're literally doubling the amount that some people are paying for their license tabs. I think we might be willing to discuss a small amount, but it's tough to say you're going to double the amount that people are paying for their license tabs and not feel like there's going to be some pushback from the public.
Dowd also thinks Dayton's proposals for transit are too generous. For now, Dowd is sticking with the House plan to use a combination of existing sales tax revenue, bonding, and part of the budget surplus to pay for road and bridge projects. Despite the potential for a session ending without a transportation bill, Dowd insisted that he wants one.
We came here last year with our number one priority of funding road and bridge infrastructure across the state. We still believe we can get there. We still believe we can do that. And I'm going to work right until the last minute to accomplish that goal. And we think we can do it. So we're committed to that, and we're going to keep working. And I hope that nobody else throws in the towel and says that they don't want to get our work done.
Transportation isn't the only issue at stake. The governor and legislative leaders have said a transportation bill needs to be resolved before they move on to a supplemental budget bill, tax bill, or a bonding bill. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Two closely watched criminal justice measures have made big advances at the Capitol. The state Senate voted convincingly yesterday to rewrite drug sentencing laws. Meanwhile, last night the House adopted a police body camera bill setting state guidelines for their use and limitations on access to their footage. Both bills have at least one more hurdle to clear, and Brian Baxter reports that opponents aren't giving in yet.
Since last summer, lawmakers, corrections officials, prosecutors, and others on a special task force have wrestled with the reality that Minnesota's prisons are filling up fast. Repeatedly, they heard one root cause. Many of the prison beds are occupied by drug law violators. At the same time, the Minnesota Sentencing Guidelines Commission decided it would reduce the presumptive prison sentences for many drug crimes. That guidance for judges was to take effect this August unless legislators stepped in. Senator Ron Latz said legislators had to confront the issue.
We can be stuck in the past and pretend that what we've been doing for 30 years that's not working is somehow going to change in the next 5 years and start working. But it won't. Or we can change our thinking.
The St. Louis Park DFLers bill grew out of negotiations between prosecutors, defense attorneys, corrections officials, and substance abuse experts. It would give more leniency to first-time offenders, making it more likely they get treatment than time behind bars. Some crimes would be knocked down from felonies to gross misdemeanors. Latz's proposal also raises the amount of illegal drug possession before the most severe charges kick in. But dealers using firearms or violence would face stiffer sentences. The trade-off wasn't enough to sway senators like Julie Rosen. The Republican from Vernon Center says it's a mistake to back off sentences at a time when deaths from overdoses are rising.
The majority of the public wants the law enforcement and prosecutors to do more and not do less with drug dealers and deaths and drug addiction.
Lawmakers shared stories about friends or relatives who have battled drug abuse or lost a loved one. Some said the personal experiences led them to oppose lesser sentences. Others said they now support alternative approaches to dealing with chemical dependency. Republican Senator Jim Abler of Anoka urged colleagues to set aside their election year concerns that they'll be portrayed as soft on crime.
I hope at the end of the day we can get this done. And I stand up today as a Republican to encourage my fellow members in the House to do something about this as well. The easy vote today is to vote no. Just to, like, for fear that it'll be misconstrued.
The Republican-led House has yet to vote on the drug sentence overhaul bill. Representative Tony Cornish of Vernon Center is sponsoring the bill, even though he's not enthusiastic about the revisions. Cornish was busy on something else yesterday. The Republicans' other marquee bill this session would enact police body camera regulations as the technology spreads through law enforcement. The House passed it after hours of debate and several failed attempts to alter the bill.
This has been a long, tough road. We've made a lot of compromises in an agreement that we've had to get this bill through.
Agencies that equip officers with the wearable cameras would have to adopt policies after public input. There would be regular audits to make sure the rules are being followed. Most footage would be off-limits to the general public unless force is used in an incident. Subjects to the videos would have the right to obtain possibly redacted versions, and officers could view interactions they film, including prior to filing police reports or as part of an investigation. St. Paul Democratic Representative Rena Moran says the bill doesn't do enough to foster trust between police and the communities they patrol.
There's an outright cry about justice, about fairness, about accountability, about transparency, and this bill does not hold transparency and is very, very heavy. Who is supporting this bill right now? We have the Minnesota Law Enforcement Coalition.
Efforts to require some level of consent before officers record in a private dwelling also were turned back. There are 6 days to match it up with a different police body camera bill passed by the Senate. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Prescription drug monitoring programs are in the spotlight as a way to battle the nation's rising painkiller overdose epidemic. They're designed to limit the ability of patients to doctor shop or to get prescriptions from multiple doctors without their knowledge. Legislation that would slightly tighten Minnesota's prescription monitoring program has now passed both houses of the state legislature. John Collins has more.
Minnesota's monitoring program has been in place since 2010, but it's been voluntary for prescribers. Legislation passed by the state Senate last week and the state House last night would require doctors and dentists to get credentials for the program. It still wouldn't require doctors to use it. Representative Dave Baker lost a son to an opioid overdose in 2011. He says the changes would be a small step in the right direction.
Doesn't require them that they have to use it every time they want to do a prescription. But as long as they have that login, then we at least understand that they know how to get into it and that they know how easy it is.
All prescriptions for controlled substances like opioid painkillers are submitted to Minnesota's program. Doctors and other prescribers can get access to that data if they're concerned a patient's trying to get drugs from multiple doctors. But many have not even registered for it. A report in March found that less than one-third of eligible doctors had accounts with the program. Baker says changes to the program were made with input from medical associations and other stakeholders after some initial resistance.
The medical community has starting to embrace the need for clarification on what really these opioids are doing and the benefit and the risk.
The Board of Pharmacy oversees the prescription drug monitoring program. Executive Director Cody Weiberg says states with required registration found that more prescribers were using the programs.
One of the reasons we recommended that is we know from other states that had no required registration, that went to required registration, that the use of the PMP went up simply because people had accounts.
Dr. David Thorson is president of the Minnesota Medical Association. Thorson says his group has supported requiring all physicians to register for the program, but he has concerns about mandating doctors to use it.
The data on a mandatory checking for every opioid every time, there has been no science to say that that has provided benefit other than adding bureaucratic time.
Senator Julie Rosen authored the Senate version of the bill. Rosen says she wants to make sure all parties are on the same page before exploring whether to mandate that doctors use the program. Another provision in the Senate version of the bill would allow doctors to more closely monitor a patient's prescription history if they have a valid concern. Previously, prescribers needed a patient's consent to check their records with the program.
Because right now, if somebody comes in and the doctor suspects, they have to ask, can we look at your records, and are you doctor shopping? And, of course, if they are abusing prescription drugs, they're going to say no.
Differences between the House and Senate versions of the bill will be hashed out in conference committee. Prescription monitoring programs in other states have also been tightened in response to the opioid overdose epidemic, which now kills tens of thousands of Americans each year. Recently released data from the State Department of Health shows more than half of all drug-related deaths in Minnesota last year were due to prescription opioid painkillers, and opioid overdose deaths have risen fivefold in the past decade and a half. Covering health, John Collins, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. We'll